So I'm speaking with Bill of New York Surveillance Camera Players. Bill, who are the Surveillance Camera Players and what do you do?
Well, the Surveillance Camera Players, who I refer to sometimes as SCP for short, is an informal grouping of people that was founded here in New York in November of 1996. And we started out as a performing group whose idea was that we would do performances directly in front of surveillance cameras that were installed in public places. And by that I mean surveillance cameras that would be on city streets, in subways, in parks, not inside any location. So everything we do is outside on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, the SCP has kind of broadened out and not only as a performance art group, but we make maps of publicly installed surveillance cameras in New York, other cities that we've visited. We give walking tours based upon those maps, dump everything that we've done online, and maintain an online presence of resources and answer people's emails and questions and argue with them if need be. We have traveled as well, both in the United States and mostly in Europe, which has been very interesting because to see what other cultures make of surveillance, how far along they are, what the response has been.
Mm-hmm.
And the final thing that we do is we spend a lot of time talking about the group to the mass media. And in America, the mass media really means television, mainstream television,
mm-hmm.
which is unusual for a group that has as extreme ideas as we do, is that we've been on CNN twice, MSNBC, Fox, and so forth. And I guess the reason that we've done that is even though we know that the mass media lies from the moment they start talking until they're done, is that as long as they say the words public and surveillance camera or public surveillance, it's worth it because the issue has never, at least before September 11th, was never really on the public agenda. And as long as they mention the topic, we've been satisfied.
Yeah. Why do you think mass media is so interested in you, in the SCP?
Well, it is pretty stunning, let's say. I mean, we're overtly an anarchist group, and the word anarchist often puts people off. But we get a lot of attention, I think, in part because TV is obviously based on video cameras, and when these producers find out that we are also performing in front of video cameras, one is just used for surveillance and one is used in broadcasting, it's something they're familiar with. They think it's cute. It sort of plays to their own biases and experiences, so it's not much of a stretch. If it was simply just, you know, street performances and street theater, I think they'd probably be less interested in what we do. So I think it basically has to do with the fact that it's we share an interest in video.
Okay, and you said earlier that on your website and both outside of your website, you provide a directory of surveillance camera locations in New York and elsewhere. How did you get this information? How do you find it?
It has to be done personally, that we do it ourselves, and it's very time-consuming. And what I'm now doing, actually, is training people from the New York Civil Liberties Union in how to both spot surveillance cameras, because sometimes it's hard to see them because they're up above us in locations that you normally don't look at. And a lot of them don't look like cameras, but they're disguised to look like these dome-shaped things that could be lights or ornaments or other things. So we first make a map of whatever neighborhood we're interested in,
mm-hmm.
and then we walk around very slowly looking at virtually everything on the building surfaces and writing down every time we see a camera. And in Manhattan neighborhoods, there's a lot of different little neighborhoods, and on average it takes 10 hours to make each map. And that's just 10 hours of walking back and forth on the same streets, making sure the information is correct. And what's funny is that you would think it would be easy to do this, but people, for example, in Boston before the Democratic National Convention,
mm-hmm.
Said we tried to find surveillance cameras here in Boston, but we couldn't. And a year before, two of us were up in Boston, and we found 198 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So so it seems this should be easy, but actually seems to require certain skills that actually can be taught easily, but that you wouldn't be able to develop on your own, apparently.
So these exercises, I mean, does this make you really aware in your day-to-day life, in your workplaces, and even when you're just with friends at a restaurant? Are you sort of always in the corner of your eye looking for the camera?
Always. I haven't really stopped looking for them ever since we started doing this 8 years ago. And what's funny is people who have been on the walking tours, if I meet up with them or if they come to a second or third walking tour, they all say the same thing, which is either I've cursed them or I've blessed them because now they see them everywhere they go. Mm. And the reason is, and I know this is the same in Toronto as it is in New York, as it is in every major city I've visited, is that people in urban centers don't look up. No. They look at people, you know, sort of chest level, but mostly down on the ground, averting their gaze to look at what they have to step over, who they have to step over. And it turns out that the cameras are above us, sometimes 10 feet and at the tops of buildings much higher. And that's the change. It's not that you start looking for surveillance cameras. It's that for the first time, you start looking up when you walk around. And only tourists do that. Both Toronto and New York actually have pretty tall buildings. So people, you can tell who's a tourist because they're looking up. And one of the reasons that I've gotten so good at finding them and other people then tell me the same quality is I've taught them basically to look up.
Nice. So these cameras, who operates them? I mean, is it just police or other groups operating these cameras? What do you focus on?
Well, I don't know always exactly for sure who operates the camera, because it would take, first of all, you'd have to ask each and every person, and they're probably going to lie to you. They'd say that's not a camera, it's not ours, it's somebody else's. So what I've gotten in the habit of doing is kind of a common sense approach, which is if it's installed on a private building, let's say a bank, it's probably owned and operated by a private company, that bank. And that if it's up, you know, installed on a city, on a street lamp, on, you know, on the traffic signal lamps, on something like that, then it's probably either the police or the Department of Transportation. So that basically I deduce who the camera is operated by on what it, the thing is stuck on.
All right. And when did the, you said the project began in 1996.
Right.
Now, why did it begin? And sort of were you the first in New York? I mean, how did you build a group?
Well, it's an interesting story because it has roots in somebody who came from Nova Scotia, actually. The person who really came up with this idea is someone named Michael, and I'm trying to keep to his wishes by not using his last name because he doesn't like to take credit for it, but actually he's really quite brilliant. And what Michael had been doing is he had something called the Manifesto for the Guerrilla Programming of Video Surveillance Equipment, and it was a flyer. And he would hand it out in restaurants and cafes and places where there were surveillance cameras. And it not only kind of said that there were cameras there, denounced surveillance in general, but it offered suggestions on what you could do to both indicate that now you were aware of the cameras or how to protest them. And it suggested that a group could treat a surveillance camera as if it was a television camera and appear in front of it, say, every Thursday at 9 p.m., as if you were putting on a real television show to, you know, sort of make fun of the people whose job it was to watch a location constantly. So he came up with the idea. I came up with the name Surveillance Camera Players. And between the two of us, we put together a team of about 12, 14 people. And on December 10th of 1996, we performed Alfred Jarre's Ubu Hra, or Ubu the King, which was 100 years old on that very day. And that kind of set the tone, which was we're always aware of what day we're performing at, try to make connections between people. And it also shows, you know, where we were coming from is that at that time it was kind of like a joke, an in-joke among people who would know who Alfred Jarre is or that King Ubu himself is a tyrant, a murderous tyrant. So by performing Ubu in front of a surveillance camera, we were kind of suggesting that the watcher was part of an Ubu-esque government. And the first performance was so successful that we didn't do anything for a year and a half afterwards. And we finally got active with it again in 98 because two things happened. Well, the then Mayor Giuliani, who was called the America's mayor because of the way he handled himself on September 11th, he started installing or ordering the installation of surveillance cameras in New York. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, or more surveillance cameras in New York, and we realized that there was actually a good reason to perform again. And the New York Civil Liberties Union was also paying attention to this, and in 1998, they made a map of all the cameras they could find in Manhattan. And between those two things, we realized we really should be active much more often. And ever since then, about 98 or 99, we haven't really let up. And we were fortunate, especially as New Yorkers, to have been thinking about this issue before September 11th, because now a great many people are thinking about civil liberties, whether surveillance is something that actually works or not. So the timing of it really worked out well.
Now, you've gone from, I guess, this initial 12 or 14 in 96 to what is international. And now, do you share footage and ideas with other players? Now, I know there are other groups in Europe where you visited, and Canada and the States, and
yes,
I'm sure all
I
over.
Mean, we'll put all the plays that we've written and the stage directions, we've put all of it up online.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken pictures even of our placards and put them up online as well, and we've encouraged people, go ahead and do our plays.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is actually anybody who's really going to be creative enough to find this appealing is also going to be creative enough to write their own plays. And that's been the real pleasure for us. Excuse me. The real pleasure for us is to see what other kinds of plays other surveillance camera players come up with. So the people in Sweden, for example, came up with their own version of Waiting for Godot, where they would show the camera a picture of a cell phone or their cell phone itself and hold up their phone number, inviting the person who was watching to give them a call on the cell phone and say hi. And I thought that was really, really clever. And there's a guy named Chuck Banaszewski who's in Tempe, Arizona. And he's actually pretty much taken the lead in writing creative plays. He's written a whole series of one-act plays or one-placard plays that he actually performs himself. And that he's come up with a whole series of these things, and they've really been very things. One is called the Universal Protest Sign, which is just a blank placard. So he'll stand in front of the camera with no message at all, and then people will say, well, what are you doing? And then that's how it begins, when he says, well, what do you think I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is the same, is basically to get a dialogue going, sometimes literally between the performer and the person watching the monitor, or the performer and the people who are just walking around on the street and see us doing something like that.
Absolutely. Now, do you engage in other forms of protest against a privacy invasion?
No.
No.
I'm engaged in several, or over these years, these same years, or recently engaged in other forms of protest. But no, not really with privacy rights or other things. We've kind of concentrated on this, or everything that I think I have to say about privacy comes out of the issue of surveillance.
Mm-hmm. How would you define surveillance?
Surveillance is a violently imposed form of social control. I think that would be the best way of describing it. At this point in time, since it's been around for so long, I think we forget the violence that it must have been like to be among the first people to be surveilled. And it's also not something that people ask to have done to them. No one asks to be surveilled. Somebody decides or imposes on you that this is what should happen, that you should be watched for your own safety. So in that way, there's nothing about surveillance that I like. And I'm careful never to refer to security cameras, that I always refer to a surveillance camera, because everybody's in favor of security, but surveillance creeps people out. And I want to make sure that they realize that there's a creepy dimension to so-called security. And it's just not one of those things that you should feel good about unreservedly.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons I'm speaking to you is because we've been talking a lot on this particular show about Steve Mann, Professor Steve Mann. He's from U of T and originally from MIT, and his wearable computers. And Dr. Mann defends these devices by saying that it's human and it's voluntary, and so it's not surveillance. By the way, these wearable computers you wear it basically essentially a camera, and it's broadcast to whoever you would like it to be broadcast to, that it's voluntary and it's not surveillance, and which is how you define surveillance as not being voluntary. Anyway, and he's even coined the term surveillance, which is French for surveillance from below, which is really fun, a nice little twist there. And I was just, would you be into strapping a camera to your head and broadcasting your life in the name of connectivity if it was voluntary?
No. And I appreciated hearing your gloss or summarization of Steve Mann and wearable computer and so forth, because I'm very well aware of his work or their work. There are a couple of people who are there. And we've also been very careful to keep our distance from them. And I think it has less to do with feelings about cyborgs or computers, because, you know, I'm very fond of computers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to turn myself into a cyborg. But mostly what makes me uncomfortable about both man and anything that's like shooting back, which is what other people have done, is that they'll surveil the surveillers, which is in many ways some of the performances or protests that Steve Mann has done, is that he will shoot back on the surveillance, the people who are surveilling him. And the thing that this strikes me as, or the best way I can describe it as being a bad idea, would be this, is that just because the police have guns doesn't mean that everybody else should have guns to mm-hmm. protect themselves from the policemen. And I think it's not too much of a stretch as an analogy, but that the both cameras and guns shoot.
Yeah.
So that instead of solving the problem of surveillance being a violently imposed thing on one people, it seems to solve it by making it absolutely everybody's problem, so that even the surveillance suffer from surveillance. And it seems to me this multiplies the problem instead of just getting rid of it. So that, in other words, we would not be in favor of shooting back. We don't want anybody shooting anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I would also say that in the same way that I think that security guards and policemen shouldn't have surveillance cameras, they also shouldn't have guns either.
Definitely not. So just before I ask you about where we can go for some more information, I wanted to ask you again about your trips abroad. Now, do you think that England has a very public but complex CCTV system? And is that comparable to New York's? I mean, is New York's that extensive? Or?
Well, no, but it's becoming so. The two things that make England different than America or all of North America, let's say, is England has a real saturation of cameras. There are supposedly between 2 and 4 million cameras installed in public places in England, mm-hmm. which averages out for one every 20 or 25 people. So that means if there were that many cameras in America, there would probably be billions of surveillance cameras. And that, so that's what's different, is the sheer concentration of cameras. But also in England, they're centralized, so that there really is a big brother who's able to watch cameras that are both local, regional, national, and international. Because that's of course the thing that marks George Orwell's 1984 is different, is that he maintained that there'd be just a single big brother, and that he or it would be engaged in centralized surveillance. And for a long time, or at least let's say in the 70s and 80s, Orwell was considered an idiot because, as it turned out, modern technology was decentralized, that the internet has no center. It's constantly proliferating as a decentered universe. And that made Orwell look kind of silly, that it turned out that technology wasn't centralizing, but decentralizing. And what's happening in England, and is beginning to happen in New York, Boston, and Washington, D.C., is not just a lot more cameras, but they're being hooked up so that there's a single location in Washington, D.C., where they can look at cameras both in Washington and in other cities. And that's what's happened at the Democratic National Convention just a few weeks ago in Boston, mm-hmm. is the federal government put in new cameras that could be watched. These are cameras in Boston that could be watched all the way in Washington, D.C. And now that the Republican National Convention is coming to New York, I'm sure they'll do the exact same thing, so that they'll put in a handful of very powerful cameras here in New York, and the people watching them will be the FBI and the Secret Service and the military, and they'll be in the nation's capital as well. And that's obviously a real confirmation of Orwell, even though for, you know, a good decade or two, it looked like he didn't understand technology. Mm-hmm. But at the final end of this, it looks like he really did. So here we are 20 years after 1984, and it's finally kicking in 20 years too late.
It's pretty gross. another difference in England, and I don't know New York's laws, so maybe you can help me. Can you get access to your security camera footage? I mean, your surveillance camera footage. There
don't
I go.
Worry about it. No, you can't. In England, the Data Protection Act says that you can, that all you have to do is tell them where you were, when you were, and give them something like £10, and that you have the right under the data retention laws to see the footage. And both from a distance, you know, by email, and going to England now two or three times, I've never met anybody who succeeded in getting their footage. Hmm. Because either the police will say, the camera wasn't working, or there wasn't any videotape that day. We were watching, but we didn't tape it. Or they'll say, yes, we have videotape of you, but we can't release it to you because there's too many other people in the video, and we'd be violating their privacy if we gave it to you. So effectively, you can't get footage of yourself in England. And here in America, I've never, ever been able to get footage that way. But we've had to film it ourselves by using a handheld video camera and shooting off of a surveillance monitor, which we have to find, of course, and that's the only way you can see, we've been able to see what we look like when we perform.
Well, where can listeners go, our listeners go, if they want more information about the SCP?
Well, to find out about the surveillance camera players, both the New York one, the other ones, and how to form your own, just go to notbored.org, that's NOTBORED, .org, and you get to a kind of an anti-war thing, but if you just keep your eyes open as you click, you'll see something for surveillance camera players, and that has a little sub-thing grouping there, and you'll be able to find links and information and pictures, translations, and a whole set of resources. Or you could just use Google and just search for the phrase surveillance cameras, and you'll find us that way.
Well, thanks, Bill.
You're very welcome, Jess. It's good to talk to you.